And I think we've gotten to a point now where the zoning commission has digested that and made some recommendations. And our zoning consultant, our legal counsel, and our internal zoning department. So I'll turn it over to you again, Robin. Let you go through that.
So I will start with a staff report, and I will jump straight from the staff report to a different document. Michelle, do you mind pulling up the overlay maps? What I'm about to discuss, I'm going to highlight major modifications based on staff's recommendations after consultation with legal counsel. I'll go through these changes first, and then I'll go through the recommendations that the zoning commission made at their hearing. So we did update the maps for each segment. The biggest change being that multifamily segments have gone away, and so they have been replaced either by commercial or different sub areas. So you can see in segment one, some of the parcels were removed along Shanahan Road, and then large amounts of the older map is on the left. The mixed use districts have mostly transferred to plain commercial, which is the red. There is some mixed use that's still remaining that is blue in the new map, but a large segment of that around Lewis Center Road has gone to plain commercial. In segment two, we did leave some mixed use kind of along Home Road, but again, a lot of that has gone to plain commercial, and you have a large industrial segment along Green Meadows Drive as well. And then segment three, again, this one kept more of the mixed use along US 23 on the east side, but there are some mixed use that was previously mixed use on the west side of 23 that has now become commercial office as well. So those are the big changes in the overlay maps.
Where's Meyer at?
Here.
Right there. Okay. So, right. The only objection I would have to the current map would be having having more potential. What's its underlying zoning now? It's commercial?
Yes.
Okay. And so it's the overlay is not providing really any benefit in that case, right?
No, I mean, the only application that's been filed around this area is just under that. That's just Lick Village.
Yep.
What is the blue color?
The blue is mixed use.
So the Meyer area, we know is a problem with the pavement and everything. And I would like to see as a buffer between the residential area, Trustee Knapp's neighborhood, and the commercial district, the potential for the newly defined mixed use, in the event that someone wanted to come into that area and revitalize that. If we look at the southern part of our township, I think we nailed it on the eastern side, where you have industrial and mixed use opportunity. We know, for example, the former Giant Eagle area, the ingress-egress combination there was not sufficient to make that business viable. Giving an overlay zone there is a beautiful thing because someone can come in and really take advantage of that. It's incentivizing them to come redevelop, which we know needs to happen there. I think we also know that needs to happen where Meyer is. Some of the side shops that we see switch every year to 18 months, and really looking more to the buffer of existing residential to commercial, of having an option there, if that makes sense. That plot in particular, just that parcel, if you will, I would love to see us consider mixed use. I don't know how the rest of the board feels. When I think about mixed use, personally, I look at that as a good buffer between single family homes and a full blown commercial district. And right now it's zoned commercial. And you've got a Meijer and a Home Depot and all those things right there. So you pass by all of those larger commercial type of areas and you go straight into single family homes. In a mixed use environment, you would have more of the outlot type businesses or smaller places that someone living in a home might want to go out and transact closer to home. But you also have residents and built into that with the new definition in this text. It's not allowing really for, we've gotten away from multifamily altogether. So it's not as if an apartment complex is going to go in there. You might see duplex type things at the worst case, in some people's perspective, but you would see more of what you see at Penn Evans Farm at the entryway where you have businesses below and some one and two bedroom potentially above. But I just think...
Like apartments?
Yeah, condos above
But how many more apartments are even left? Wait, Michelle, can you go down to see the key on the right side? I can't see the key of the...
It's just in my mind, it's a smoother transition.
At the existing Meyer plot, which is south of that?
The Meyer plot is the one...
the really large one.
The really big one, yep.
And then Home Depot is on the north side of that creek.
They have condos right there and the blue that are going in.
Right.
And then when you look at the single family to the south and the west, the reason I bring Meyer up is because it's long been discussed as an area, the pavement and the way the road winds, and you see the business fluctuation there and that.
In the lots that are between Meyer and 23.
Meyer and 750.
750.
Yep. Okay. 750.
Oh, okay, that's a little more.
Powell Road,
okay.
Right?
That's where.
Correct.
The hair school is.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Wait, just that area?
Yes.
Wait, just that corner, but not. What about the outlots above it?
North of the blue, where Home Depot is.
Just like.
So I don't think Home Depot has the.
Like UDF.
Yeah, like
that area. So you see the.
You mean just the square area. The square area.
You mean like a circle in Michelle?
Essentially, if you take that whole blue area, that little blue square, right? Little blue plot.
That's crazy.
Where's the little blue plot?
That's a
blue on the right side, the new map. Yeah. So if you go to the new map and you see where there's the blue square where they're developing condos right now, if you just take that and expand that blue. And I'm indifferent as to whether the service road, east of the service road, has changed or not. I would just like to see that southern corner. I would want to give developers the most opportune, opportunistic option. The most flexibility to come in there and do something better, because there's a ton of pavement that's not being used. There's a lot of businesses that are turning there frequently. In several of the outlots, and we've seen when we have a business go, it takes a long time for someone new to come in and clear that vacancy. So almost if you go to Home Depot to the north of it, mm-hmm. where you have that little turn in and turn out, and you take that whole corner and make it commercial mixed use.
Sorry.
It's okay, Michelle.
Well.
I just think it gives people a better opportunity to buffer that between the current single family homes and a full blown, if it's commercial like it is now, someone can come in and buy out whatever and submit a commercial application. I'm not sure that the folks that live in single family homes or what have you there, it's in that, it's in the best interest there. And nor do I think that from a development standpoint, forcing an office or commercial application would be the most viable.
But it's already commercial.
Correct. Which is what I'm saying, that there's no benefit to keeping it commercial.
Okay, so Michelle, can you mark the board on the plots that he's passing?
Because it's not working.
So, now why does it say mixed use is purple over here?
We changed the colors. We thought it was too confusing, so we wanted...
I'm so confused, because now it's...
So mixed use is blue.
Mixed use is blue, industrial is purple, red is commercial, and that's the only zoning choices.
You should have used like lime green.
I know, it's really very confusing.
The color goes
and,
with, my ripe old age.
I think the biggest change overall is, we expanded the commercial side as we didn't want to encourage, mixed use does allow for housing, so we did expand the commercial side. Or the red, I guess you could say, all throughout each of the segment areas.
I'm fine with that then.
Yeah, it's already playing commercial,
and it is commercial.
I think Ben's probably mentioning for more redevelopment. I mean, we are going to have some redevelopment opportunities, and specifically in the south. I mean, this area is one of our oldest industrial districts, and so, I mean, maybe not in the next.
So,
fundamentally for me, if I look at the purpose and the intent of an overlay, it's to add flexibility, and that accomplishes nothing.
Does that make sense? Yeah, it does,
but if we want that to be the case, then I'm fine with it. But
yeah, I don't know if we have to change everything.
The overlay would make it more, I guess, efficient in some cases, but...
I guess I'm just not clear on what properties you're referring to.
See where the blue square is amongst the red, the sea of red? I'm saying that if you go to that first service road north of it, so follow the service road up, go to the egress and ingress right there.
Okay.
So if you just take from that over, that property line, and you go south all the way down, and then you go east all the way to 23, that big chunk.
So there. That we did have that originally as mixed use.
Yep.
Yeah, so
that's Home Depot, that's Meijer,
yep.
And then it's all, and then I see no point in changing those, but again, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think so either, but yeah, so if you did mixed use, like currently they could build another big lot or build
commercial.
Any other commercial, a bunch of an old strip center, they could have something like a really cool development that
mixed use,
we're never going to have here, but that has, well, then we could call the BJ's with the apartments.
Yeah, we define it a little better than the overlay ones.
Yeah,
that's
but,
the point.
But how many more apartments are permitted in that area anyway?
I think it's 200 or
294 left.
Overall.
In segment three?
194.
Okay.
It was
south of Warren.
In that whole district.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at an old version. Sorry.
Okay. The whole area
of
that map. Not just one segment. The whole area of that map is 194.
Right, including like south of Warren.
Correct. So you're not going to get that in the one.
I would just keep it my commercial map because that's what it is. We can always tweak this.
Oh, yeah.
As we go
on.
Yeah, right. We can change
that. The overlay would incentivize them to do that without having to go through an expensive, time-consuming.
Yeah, and we kept the mixed use on the east side mainly because we vision more of redevelopment there as opposed to the Meijer site.
Yeah,
because
of Meijer, and I don't know honestly. And plus, I would want residents like once this is done, because
this is a giant eagle. I mean,
yeah, but the problem is in. If you ever, it's, what's nice is that there's a rezoning and they want to change use, the residents will all be invited.
Yeah, that's true.
And they're notified. With this, if we change it, they come in.
Come in and do it.
We're going to devolve it there. How do you think the residents that live on the
road? I just hate to pass an overlay with no benefit on that.
Well, I think the whole overlay, I don't know, I'm not good in that. But I have some tweaks I like to make at some point. But I feel like having overlay kind of takes away the residents' right to referendum or have input, that we have to approve whatever it is. And if all of a sudden they're going to start building apartments and we want to...
But that's why we made this more restrictive than it was.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
Why we did that.
It is, but yeah, I think I'd rather... And we could always tweak it because I doubt that Meijer will be leaving any...
No, they're not leaving. But they could... Look at making changes.
I mean, this is part of the zoning code. So, and with any zoning code, it is important for us to revisit these types of sections on more of an annual basis, anyways. So,
yeah.
I retract.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anything else on the maps?
Nope.
Okay. I know Robin has more to his staff report.
All right. So. Next section, section 20.03, as I mentioned, the sub-areas, multifamily has been removed. Most of those standards have been incorporated into the mixed-use sub-area, so essentially those sections were merged. Section 20.04, the schedule has changed within 20.04b. The zoning commission will now schedule an RCOD work session within 45 days of each submittal deadline rather than 14 days. This was primarily to give staff time to vet the application properly before the zoning commission work session. 20.04C has been changed to reflect that recommendations included in the traffic impact study shall also be approved by the township in addition to approval from the permitting authority of the applicable roads. 20.04H, condition of approval, was added. This subsection requires that no property in application and development plan shall be included unless such property is located in a joint economic development district or JED. 20.04N, we did make some changes as to what constitutes major and minor requirements for amendments. So we added language dealing with landscaping and screening features. As well as item 7, which states that any increase in the number of dwelling units would be a major amendment. So if a development comes in and they later they want to add one more unit, that's still a major amendment that would require approval by the Board of Trustees. The timeline for that process is also 45 days now. Section 20.05, we added language that prohibits fueling stations, auto-oriented uses, and standalone drive-through facilities. In general standards 20.09A, additional restrictions were added for drive-throughs, saying that drive-throughs may not abut any residential district. The standard for street trees, we essentially increased the amount of trees, so it was prior one tree every 30 feet, now it is one tree every 25 feet. Coniferous or deciduous and coniferous trees are now permitted. Language was added in 20.09G that permits one monument sign along US 23 if there is no access granted along 23. And we also added crossbuck fences as a permitted type of fence.
Now, why are the trees, why is it every 25 feet? Like, I've seen some areas where they're a lot closer in some communities than 25.
I'm not sure why we chose 25 specifically. Previously, it was 30 feet, so we...
It's the strictest standard we have in the township.
It is, but, you know, so, like, 25 feet apart for street trees is really pretty far apart. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what the... I'm not a landscape architect, so I don't know what that minimum could be.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we can change that somehow.
To get big would be a problem.
Yeah,
25
feet wide.
I mean, I know there's a little bit of a timeline on our time frame on this, given the moratorium, but
yeah.
We are doing our zoning rewrite, so if there's anything, you know, that we are missing, we can always modify it from there.
So all those changes that I just mentioned were staff changes that we implemented prior to the Zoning Commission hearing. The Zoning Commission did recommend unanimous approval of this application, so the changes below were changes that we discussed with the Zoning Commission and we changed based on their feedback. So we did, we changed how we counted the residential units that can be built within the segments. So previously, residential units that were already zoned or built in other zoning districts, those were counted towards the caps. We've removed that language so that it's only counting units that are approved and built within the overlay district. I think, to me, this is a good change just because it makes it easier and simpler from a staff perspective. And also just easier also for the developer to know what is permitted. So we realized that increased the amount of units because there were some residential units that were already built in those sub areas. And so to offset that, we ended up reducing the number of max units in segment 2 and segment 3 each by 100 units. So you can see the calculation in the staff report. So currently, in segment 1, there are 0 units left. In segment 2, there are 205 units left. And in segment 3, there are 194 units left. So just under 400 total units, all within segments 2 and 3.
And I think that's... that. I thought through that quite a bit, and we talked about it this afternoon as well. Kind of going back to what I was saying about trying to... You know, a developer is going to look at this, and there's got to be something to work with. And this does give them more opportunity to make a truly viable mixed-use development with those numbers. I think that having 200 units, you know, that's not, that's a sizable amount, especially when you think of a true mixed-use, right, not a standalone. They can come in and spread that out amongst commercial, which I think would really do well in our community. I truly believe that.
Are those all multifamily? When it refers to residential, you can any residential, right? But it's all multifamily.
It's all multifamily.
It can't be single family.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is, like, just standalone multifamily is written out. So this is truly mixed use. Then you have commerce generated by the residents that are in proximity, and more accessibility for residents that are, you know, traveling up and down 23. So if somebody wanted to redevelop the plots in these two areas, this gives them something to recover the investment from. So I think it's a smart move. To your point you've made before, there's not a ton of open land, right? So this is really going to help drive some redevelopment where I believe we need it. Mm-hmm. What else you got, sir?
Section 20.04, again, a schedule change. So the Board of Trustees shall now hold a public hearing within 30 days after the Zoning Commission work session rather than 45 days. This was another good suggestion, I think, by the Zoning Commission, where previously it was 45 days, just tightening the timeline on the back end of it, because in theory, the due diligence should be done on the front end before the Zoning Commission work session. So just kind of giving some sort of assurance to the developers that it will happen within a speedy time frame, so within the 30 days rather than 45. In section 20.08, in mixed use, we did add two family residential and three family residential buildings were added as permitted uses in the mixed use sub area, so it's not necessarily just apartments, it could also be kind of townhomes or similar configurations.
So before, what was the minimum number of family?
It had to be two stories.
It had to be two, mm-hmm. but was there a minimum number of families?
No. I think it was always two family, but
it wasn't two family, because
I think the minimum was three.
It was three. Because people were asking about duplexes, so because it wasn't written in.
It was three before.
Yeah.
So, but then it says two and three were added.
The advantage of having two is you have more space between. I mean, you have less density.
Yeah. But was three already permitted?
I think that it was. Yeah, but only in the multifamily area?
Yeah.
I think
so. So this is not for multifamily, so it's written out, so it's just for mixed use.
Oh, just mixed use, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what was allowed there before? Three?
In the overlay before?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was three.
But it says that three family residential buildings were added.
As permitted uses in the mixed use. So we used to have a separate multifamily sub area, and we got rid of that. So we merged all the existing multifamily into the mixed use area. And so in order to have what's actually existing, we needed to add the two family and three family residential.
That makes sense. So those condos by Home Depot now are allowed still.
Okay.
You didn't write them out. Because those are really nice. They're like three stories, like a basement and two stories above the garage. Yeah, the condos, yeah, they're nice.
Mm-hmm. Is that coming, or?
They're building them.
Oh, by Home Depot?
Yeah, they're going up.
That's Cheswick Village. Is that what you're?
Yeah.
Oh, those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're close to the.
They make a lot of noise. I hear them all. And a lot of construction coming all
over the place.
Okay.
Yeah, further.
One final thing that we did add language that prohibits any plant species or tree identified as an invasive species in Ohio to the prohibited list. The Bradford pear was the recent change that was
also in my neighborhood everywhere.
Falling down with wind storms.
It's awful. But there's no JED on the multifamily or mixed. Is it on mixed use? It is on mixed use. So why would we not put that under? I was talking to someone about putting it on the multifamily.
So I wanted it on the multifamily. because, but I wanted it on the business only, not the residents that live there. And legally, that's kind of a non-starter, because if you have to, you start, you can't tax the, you can't just tax the business side of it. Apparently, there's some difficulty or complexity.
Or it just starts to get a bit more complicated at that point. We're in, quite frankly, we don't know that it's legally permissible to just, if you were to have a mixed-use development with an apartment complex, we don't know that you could tax the business of the apartment without taxing.
Okay, in the mixed use, but what about, okay, what about the multifamily?
Well, that all we have is mixed use.
That's it. Okay, yeah. So the residents will be taxed.
No.
Or they know, the mixed use won't be, doesn't have a jet at all?
So, no, the mixed use does, but not the,
any
not
multi, the multifamily. Yeah, any multifamily that applies within the mixed use sub area would not be, the residents would not be taxed.
Which is what I think is.
Then wait, so what was the question of legal? I thought you were saying that.
So there are a couple of things. There's under the JED law, it's very strict with respect to when you can tax a resident in a JED, and you can only tax someone in living in a JED if they're in a quote mixed use development, and that has a statutory definition. Mm-hmm. Obviously, a mixed use development in a you could theoretically be in a under the mixed use zoning overlay designation. But it might just be a solo apartment complex. But that doesn't really meet the that doesn't meet the JED statutory definition. And so there could be a situation where there's a true mixed use development that meets the JED statutory check marks, mm-hmm. where there are people living there. It has a mix of it's got commercial components, it's got residential components, all part of one project. Mm-hmm.
They would all pay.
And they would all pay.
So if you think of Evans Farm, the front buildings that have, would all pay.
So would residents pay or just?
No, they would all pay.
They would all pay, yeah. Because it's kind of like one thing versus
one property.
The standalone.
That's how you go at it, and that's why mixed use makes more sense.
Yeah, but so what is the definition, the JED language of mixed use? Or do you know it offhand?
It's pretty broad. It's pretty flowery in my opinion. It's, you know, a place where people can, it has a mix of uses. You can work, play, eat, walk.
Of those things are required, including working.
It's just a place where people can do all of those things.
Multiple activities in one lot.
And I think it doesn't truly, or I don't think that the statutory definition just envisions a situation like Evans Farm or the Short North where there's retail on the bottom and residential on top. That I think that's kind of, at least in my mind, that's a mixed use easily. But obviously that would fit under the JED definition. But I think that definition is much more broad. I think the BJ's property, because that project had a mix of uses. It had commercial, it had residential. Obviously it was big and spread out, but
you could live and work and play there. You could work and shop and work.
And if you work at BJ's, you're paying tax.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Or you could work at Ally.
But the board, I think, made a policy decision not to, like, for that project. Yeah, it is what.
Well, I didn't make the decision.
Correct.
But I wish we could tax them. Okay, so what you're saying though is that this mixed use will be taxed if they're legitimate. Mm-hmm. So we won't be allowing any. Probably standalone BJ's type applications,
right, exactly.
Unless they do a separate zoning.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And then it would have to be.
Which they did. They did a rezoning.
Yeah.
And so when you think about that BJ's property, what the point is in that actual building or structure, there's only residents. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but
so in a structure in the future in this development, what we're envisioning is more than one thing.
But does it say that in the text that that's the definition? Because she was just saying that could, in theory, have been a mixed use if that come in. So
I think so.
So
yeah.
And I thought they could. I wanted to do, though, was different. I did not want to tax the residents. Mm-hmm. I wanted to tax
the owner of the multi-park.
The owner. The owner. So Schott and Steve.
Yeah.
Right?
But they aren't going to be taxed, are they?
No. Because they can't split the owner of the property and the occupants.
Can we tax the construction of the building? The apartment building? Like the construction workers, can we take tax No.
It's not on the apartments.
No. So it would be the same thing, right?
Well, not that one, but
I remember how the language is set.
In the future, it will, yeah.
Yeah, so if because I had Ron did like an analysis of the BJ's and whether or not it would have fit in the overlay or not, it was pretty much did fit in the overlay, yeah, mostly, right? So that was interesting. That was kind of an eye-opener. So I just want to make sure, if we have new residents, I would like to tax them in the most efficient way possible.
Yeah, and we will going forward.
So they will have an income tax if they live in, say, above, if Giant Eagle turns into retail and residential, your income will be taxed.
And even if it's standalone, like someone comes in and builds another big box, and then next door they do apartments on the same parcel behind it.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't think standalone multifamily would be taxed based on the language provided.
If it's standalone, just like Wilcox, right? Wilcox.
Yeah.
So Wilcox, that's a standalone apartment community that would not be taxed.
But it's not going to happen here.
But if in here, if or I'm sorry, for this situation, if a project, a whole project, had a giant box, a couple out parcels in a large apartment complex as part of one project, that would be considered.
That would still be okay. So
that would be multi, or that would be a mixed use.
Yeah. So a BJ style development in this overlay would be taxed.
The residents would pay income tax.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Yeah. Great. Sorry, Lisa. I guess just to clarify. So if somebody comes and submits just apartments with this overlay,
the 2 and 3,
they would not be taxed.
Correct.
Wait. Can they do that? Submit just apartments?
They can.
They can't do that.
For 2 and 3. For condos that are 2 and 3.
There's so many units left, yes, they can. And then the rest
would... can just come in where...
That's correct.
Would that be at?
But that's just for... We define that, Ms. Bonnie, as 2 and 3 unit connected, right?
Like two family?
Yes. Well,
that's a permitted use, yeah. It can be apartments as well.
But it can just be apartments?
They have to be attached. So if you had someone come in and wanted to build a 200-unit property, that's permitted?
Without commercial?
And they would use the rest of the units, yes.
Oh.
They would what?
They would, I mean...
If there were units remaining, they could do that.
I was under the impression that multifamily was out.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Like apartment-style multifamily, that the only permitted use was...
Yeah, free,
like the 2-unit or 3-unit combination. Is that not correct? But,
multifamily buildings are still permitted. We did not change that language.
I thought we got rid of the multifamily zoning.
Well, we got rid of the multifamily zoning, but it is the multi.
There's no requirement to have commercial in with the business.
That's correct. The remaining multifamily units, the remaining multifamily units are merged into the mixed use. But yes, somebody, an individual apartment developer can apply if there's remaining units left, as it's currently stated.
Can we write that out?
I was under the impression that this meant there's no more standalone. Someone can come in and build 400 maybe.
I think we can write that. I would not be able to do that tonight.
I know, so we have to.
So we can table it. Go into the next board meeting since we're talking.
There's like 800 things in the next board meeting, so just 801?
Yeah, just 801, yeah.
Can't we. Wait, are we out of here?
You can adjourn to a time date place certain.
Right.
Can we add it to the regular meeting?
Okay. Absolutely.
Continue. Yep. And not define when.
No, you have to do a time date place.
But certain. It's not tabling, it's adjourning because.
Or I'm sorry, not adjourn to continue to a time date place certain. Yep.
Is that something we can pull together before the June 6th meeting, do you think?
And if we can table again.
Oh, okay.
What date?
We have 2 weeks to make the text modifications. We can do that. I just want to make sure that's the only thing we're changing.
Oh, wait.
That's the only thing I had a problem with personally.
Yeah, we were all, I think, or at least some of us were, I mean, I don't know. I thought I thought they could not come in here and build a 400 unit.
Well, definitely not 400, but we had...
So I think I understand it. If somebody is coming here with multifamily, we'll require them to have a commercial component to it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was otherwise. What was the point of calling it mixed use? Yeah.
So I think there's a way to just. We'll work with council on that.
What's the date and time? The
10 a.m. June 6th at 10 a.m.
And so the mixed use shouldn't be you could pick single family or commercial. It should be
Molded indoors, or should be both.
The only exception to that that I am okay with is another Wilcox style community, which is the condominiums that are 2 and 3 units.
Yeah, I think that would. Okay, so.
Does that make sense what I'm saying?
But that's still only residential.
So two or three family mixed family units,
yep.
Or multifamily with a commercial component.
Correct. That's all I'm okay with.
Wait, so the 2 and 3 multifamily still count towards multifamily?
Yeah. So if Wilcox Communities comes and submits just their 2, 3 family homes, then.
See,
so you still want commercial?
Yeah, I still want commercial. I don't want any standalone.
Okay, I think you want.
That makes sense because.
Okay, so if Wilcox comes and builds a couple outlots with their proposals, you're good with that.
Let's just call it mixed use then, and have it be mixed use.
Right.
Yeah,
it's
commercial.
And then have a residential. Okay. I think
let's just do mixed use.
So the number of the number of actual units is not at issue. It just has to have, if you're having residential, it has to have a commercial.
Yeah, but what if they came in and said, we're just going to build a McDonald's and we're going to build 300 apartments?
Yeah, I mean, that would be, I will admit, that would be hard to distinguish what type of commercial use it is. But we are prohibiting fueling stations, audio-oriented, and drive-thrus.
Okay, well, what if someone came in and said, well, I'm going to build a... just one tiny store, I don't know what.
They could.
Some tiny store, and then a convenience store without a gas station. And it's small, and then, oh, by the way, the rest of it's going
to
be
apartments. I mean, we might be able to look at it, but at percentage or floor area.
Maybe 50%. I bet another township probably has some language that maybe we could, maybe Scott Sanders would have some language, or another township that's already done this would have a good mix, like 1/3 or 50%, but... Otherwise,
I like the proportion of that, so where 1/3 of the property has to be commercial.
Wait, 1/3 or half?
1/3. I think that's fair. Because if you think of a 3-story building like at Evans,
remember,
1 floor, 2 floors, right?
That's true. Now, what about that? There also was an office with mixed in there, too.
That's fine. They can use whatever they want on
a commercial
site. If somebody wants to come in and build an office complex, which they're not right now, I would say.
You are?
Yeah, I'm probably okay with that, but maybe if they've got other texts that would change.
So I think there might be just a bigger conversation we need to have. So I'd like to actually continue it till June 20th, and then I'd ask the trustees to extend the moratorium for the next regular meeting for another 30 days.
Another 30 days.
If that's okay with the board.
We'll extend it. At the next meeting?
Yeah, I will. At the June 6th meeting, I'll extend the moratorium to give us a little more time.
To get us to
and
the
I
20th,
think there's mixed use language that maybe someone else would have where they say, hey, this has worked well. So developers came in and, you know, there might be a kind of an industry standard for mixed use.
Yeah, let's take a look at
rather
it.
Rather than just throwing a hopper in there.
All right.
What was that?
Are you able to come to both? Okay, because that's for the tip.
Is that the only change we can talk with her and make more.
The 20th on the calendar?
What?
We can talk with her and make more for the next meeting, for the 20th.
Yeah, is there anything else?
Nothing that I'm aware of now.
Is there anything else that you guys want to talk about now?
No.
I want to make sure we're right at the table again.
Right, exactly.
Is there anything, I think I can't think of anything else. Do we prohibit the illegal trees in the zoning resolution right now?
No.
Are you guys going to add that?
We don't have any landscaping standards currently in the zoning resolution, so we will have them.
Maybe we could, okay, good.
Yes.
That would be great.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of this that's in here will actually be kind of...
help with that?
Yeah, we'll probably, for instance, there's a definition section in the overlay district. We're going to pull that out and just have a definition section for all of this. So.
And we can do that legally as a township prohibit a certain tree. Mm-hmm. So we could bring
invasive.
Well, they're invasive.
Mm-hmm. Right, as long as it's on the list. There's silver maples on the list.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have any.
I make a motion to continue the hearing for the Route 23 Overlay District to the June 20th regular Board of Trustees meeting, at 10 a.m.
Second.
Trustee Grumbles?
Yes.
Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
And Trustee Faust?
Yes.
Nothing further, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Sorry. Trustee Grumbles?
Yes.
Trustee Faust?
Yes.
And Trustee Knapp?
Yes.
All right, meeting adjourned. Thank you.